Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking here the rest of the program about Rick Joyner's book called The Harvest. We encourage you, if you haven't picked up this book, you may want to pick it up. It's an interesting book. It's a great read. I enjoy Rick as an author and all the things that he teaches. I've read several of his books. We read them a lot. But this vision was given to him over 25 years ago, and he writes it in a book. Didn't start out in a book. He was encouraged. I think a lot of his visions start out that way. They don't start out to be books, but people spread them all over the place, and then there's a need for them, and so they say, "Well, I guess put it in a book." And it's a tremendous blessing. But in The Harvest, he talks about the coming harvest. It's going to be coming in the end days. And in this particular chapter we're going to be talking about, chapter 10, he talks about what he sees coming to the church in the form of persecution. It's not pretty. We have, and more particularly, what's coming to the church in the West, because, you know, the persecution has been happening for quite a while, since the time of Jesus. And you know, our brothers and sisters in the eastern part of the world have suffered greatly. I think of those in China. They have suffered greatly. That's all I could say. Yeah,
most recently in Iraq.
Yeah, Iraq. And we want to continue to pray for them. But it seems that the persecution is going to continue to happen. And it's going to, in fact, it's one of the signs of the end of the age that Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew. And but it's going to come to the West. And so what we're going to do is our very best to have a conversation as we read a little bit from Rick's book, and then we're going to kind of just share our thoughts and some of the things that maybe the Lord has spoken to us in regards to what he is sharing. But I'm going to start off with the first page here, and he says, "I saw a great persecution coming against the church in every place where revival was about to break out," because the idea of the book is that there's a huge ingathering of souls that is coming. And he says, "The Lord allowed this to purify the church and especially its leadership in preparation for the great move that was coming." And there's something about persecution that tends to prepare us and to purify us. No silly games linger around in the face of persecution. And he continues to say that the persecution did not come everywhere at the same time, but it came in different ways and in different places. But the result was to bring about almost a universal purification of the body of Christ. And that's what we've been seeing here over the years. Persecution from the time of Stephen being, you know, stoned, to what we've seen in China, what we've seen during the time of Nero, where Nero was... when he was emperor of Rome, he was taking Christians and nailing them to a pole, Pat, and dipping them in I believe oil, and lighting them on fire because he wanted to see his garden at night. I mean, this is what's happening to the Christians back then, and of course, what's happening to the church in China, what's happening to the church in Iraq, and all the other places around the world. And but there's a goal for it, and it's amazing how God will use those things, you know, for his own purposes. He continues to say that in many countries before the great ingathering, Christianity will experience a great humiliation, and the enemy's strategy is so to utterly degrade the church wherever he can, that she will begin to retreat just when she is about to make one of her greatest advances. Even though at times it would look like the church has been decimated by this, it will come forth in power and glory, and then more than ever before. And this is about, because there's a revival that's about to take place. And this is really interesting what he shares about that. And I know, Pat, that you were, you know, reading along, we were all reading this, but, you know, some insight on what we've read and some of the things that you're hearing, because I know that one of the next sections talks about is the accuser in the book as well.
Well, it's just a, you know, wake up call, you know, for the church in the West. I mean, that, like you said, you know, other countries have been going through this for years.
Christians, you know, in other countries.
Christians, yeah, exactly. And to hear what the things that God's been revealing to Rick here, it's, you know, it reminds me of the word that was given to, I think it was James Robinson. He said, basically, the church is going to, it's either humble yourself or humiliation.
Yeah. Humility or humiliation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Choose.
And this is almost like identical to what, you know, that, what he was talking about in that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a time of humility.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to humble ourselves. And even, you know, he even talks about, you know, whether, you know, it's true or not, humility is coming,
mm-hmm.
you know, it, yeah. as far as the false accusations and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Yeah. Well, one of the things he shares in the next section, the accuser, he says that this is what the enemy does. He goes around accusing the brethren in the church, the body of Christ. And some of the things that are going to come out are actually going to be factual. This is the sin that, that's been occurring, unethical behavior, mm-hmm. Immoral charges, highly visible ministries that they're going to, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of just really horrible, heinous things are going to come out. And a lot of these things are going to be true, but a lot of these things are going to be false. And he says that few incidents that are proven true will be used to foment a rage against Christians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he says virtually everywhere this will occur. And people will be upset. They'll say, look, you know, basically those Christians, look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then other charges that are false are going to emerge as well. It says many Christians will turn against their fellow believers and bring forth devised accusations.
Mm-hmm.
This is intended to inflict the church with a paranoia that brings further divisions and breakdowns in the Christian community. And so when you think about that and you think this is, you know, this is a strategy. This is a demonic strategy that's being waged against the church. And when mm-hmm. I think about that, Pat, Steve, I think about, because the enemy knows that his days are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows that.
Right.
And what he's always tried to do is snuff out what God is about to do before it gets a chance to actually happen. I think about when Moses was about to be born,
mm-hmm.
snuff it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try to. When Jesus was about to be born,
mm-hmm.
let's go try to snuff him out. Try to. Doesn't work. And what he's trying to do now in the end times and the end days is to try to snuff the church, to humiliate the church, to rob her of her witness
mm-hmm.
and of her, you know, ability to be able to continue to advance and spread the gospel. And so some of the stuff is going to happen, mm-hmm. and but some of the stuff is going to be made up. I know that as he continues in the accuser, there's some things that, mm-hmm. Steve, you're reading as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you know, you said something earlier that it's so significant that there's like a wake-up call when you look at the church around the world, because a lot of times we can, in the West, we can get focused on just America, and it's just like, no, the church is actually the world and the body of Christ throughout the world. And it makes me think of, you know, we've talked about in previous programs, is that some of the basic training that it's just like the underground church goes through in China is to learn how to like jump out of a second-story window.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like they
understand. Right, without breaking your leg or something.
Exactly. And it's just like they understand that there are people against them and they're still standing up boldly for Christ. And it just makes me think about like what you're saying is like being aware of those attacks or being aware of the fact that the enemy's going to do all they can to come against you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And what I was reading as well as what you're saying is knowing the fact that those accusations are coming and Satan's strategy, like you said, is to utterly humiliate the church. But Rick really gives a visual of what he was revealed and some of the things that he was seeing. And he talks about it. He says, there's going to be hordes of cults and satanic worshipers. They'll begin attacking congregations and meetings. He says they're going to enter services, spitting on people, urinating, performing lewd acts in order to humiliate the church. And he says, done in such a way that it's going to become a fad among cults. And he says what is going to begin as a few isolated incidents is going to be common throughout the world. And it just really got me to thinking. It's just like we have been able to enjoy such a blanket of comfort and a freedom of being able to just walk with a Bible, to talk about Jesus, to walk into a coffee shop with a cappuccino and just say, hey, what's God saying? Or, hey, how was whatever? And it's just like very few places if any, throughout the world, do you have that ability without getting an open negative response, without getting an open impression? It's just like, you can't just walk up to your leadership and say, you know, do you know who Jesus is? And we have that blessing in America, and it's just like,
well, get
becoming
ready.
Familiar.
Get ready, because persecution is coming, and we're going to be able to know how to stand in the face of it. We're going to go for a short break. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about persecution, the accuser, the importance of having a spirit of discernment, and what's going to be happening to the future leadership. There's a purging that's coming, and you don't want to miss it. I mean, we're attempting to go through this chapter in the Harvest book written by Rick Joyner called The Persecution. And the book is so rich, and he gives so much insight into what it was revealed to him that is going to be coming. And, you know, I think when I hear about the persecution and I think about what's happened in times past, what's happened presently, and what the little that has occurred here in the United States. I mean, someone says you can't pray, and we call that persecution. Right. Somebody's, you know, is ostracized at work because they wear a cross, and now, you know, that's persecution. Yes, it does exist. Yes, it does exist in corporate America. Believe me, you know, it does. They want to marginalize you and polarize you and use Alinsky tactics on you. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you'll see Alinsky tactics work all over the place, you know, just because you're a believer. But we have not faced in this country nowhere near the persecution that so many of our brothers and sisters have faced. I mean, when you're talking about giving your life, when you're talking about having been stoned, just here just recently on Sinjar Mountain, I mean, the Christians that had to flee from being killed, their children's heads being beheaded, they left everything. Christians that have been crucified in Iraq. I mean, this is relevant. This is happening now, and soon it will be happening here in the West. And the question is, will the church in the West be able to stand in the face of persecution? Right. And he continues to write, Rick, in about the accuser, which is Satan. That's what he does. He accuses us day and night, and he's trying to bring charges, true and false, against us. But he says this demonic strategy will work the best where the accuser already has made inroads and not been challenged by leadership. Made inroads and not challenged. And it's like, you know, you can't wait to take the fight to the enemy. You know what I mean? You can't. He's already waged a war on you. You better need to know that. You need to wage war back on him. And he says, it will drive many believers away from the church and to depart from the faith, but the result will be a much stronger and wiser Christian community that after this great humiliation that's going to come, according to what Rick saw, they will be ready for the great exaltation that will follow. And so he continues to say he understands that at one moment, you know, just like in the time of Jesus, they'll say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Mm-hmm. The next second they're saying, crucify, crucify, the same way that many will want to taunt Christians, persecute them, try to humiliate them, that at the same token, these same people will turn around and will wind up, you know, blessing and being friendly to Christians and will actually honor them, he says. Now, I know that you were reading along the same path, too, and talk to us about, Rick shares about the need for discernment and why that's important in this time more than ever, because I know that this is something that many people are going to be humiliated because of the things that they have done that they didn't confess before the Lord, and then there's going to be charges that are going to be brought upon Christians that are absolutely false, and Rick addresses this.
Well, yeah, obviously, we've got to have discernment. I mean, we got to realize who the enemy is. Mm-hmm. People aren't our enemy. You know, the Satan uses people, you know, and I know in past times I've, you know, struggled with that, you know, realizing that the enemy is using somebody's mouth to say things. And, you know, it's going to have to be our responsibility and our, we're just going to have to learn how to,
humble ourselves.
Yeah, humble yourselves and not worry about your reputation. Don't worry about what they're saying about you, whether it's true or not.
Right.
You know, we've got to be able to maintain ourselves. And, of course, Jesus was the greatest example of that. You know, and I think about the last 24 hours of his life. You think about all the things that happened wow. in such a compacted yeah. time. I mean, think about it. You had, you know, the Sanhedrin falsely accusing him. You got Judas betraying him.
Wow.
You got his disciples deserting him.
Hmm.
You got Peter disowning him. I mean, all of this was happening at the same time.
Wow.
But yet Jesus didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And he never
yeah.
defended himself. He never, you know, said anything against these people.
Yeah.
Even at the very end when he's on the cross, you know, when they're, you know, hurling insults at him and they're saying all these just horrid things, he says, Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're doing.
Wow.
That's all he said.
That's amazing.
He had no reputation. He wasn't concerned about that. It was all about the Father's business. What he was so focused. He had a purpose. He knew what he was called to do. All these people, that was irrelevant.
What's the quote that you say in regards to the importance of humiliation, that what you're doing it for? And I can't think of how it goes. Like you're going to be willing to be humiliated.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a book I read. I believe it was either Rick or John Bevere. He says, be willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. Something like that nature.
Yeah.
You know, you got to realize what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's going to be a great need for discernment, because there are going to be some things that Rick shares, that some evidence that we're going to have to be able to trust in the face of it, that this is what's happened, this is the evidence, and this happened. This is wrong, and the persecution is going to come because they did some bad things inside of man and God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's other things that people are going to be charged with that are going to be false. They're going to be huge false accusations. And one of the things that we have to be free from is what the Lord's showing me, even in recent days, about a religious spirit, that you don't want to be so quick to be, you don't want to jump on a bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be one to tear a brother or a sister down. You don't want to be one to, just because someone brings an accusation, to say, oh, yeah, that's right. I always had a feeling. I always,
yeah.
You did.
Is that right?
Did you pray for me? I always had a feeling. And then they're joining the bandwagon, and they're standing with your accusers. And I know, I'm like, Steve, I know that you're talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about, you know, that need and what Rick shares and some insight about that need for having to have spirit of discernment.
Well, that's a huge thing. It's like, just like what you're saying, is having that awareness is that the enemy is not people. It's a spirit. It's a spiritual thing.
People aren't our enemy.
Yeah, people are not the enemy. But, and Rick says that so powerfully, is the fact that don't waste your trial. Is understanding the fact that when we just allow God to respond for us, it's just like, that's when we know who's really in control.
Yeah, God is amazing. He will help us through the face of this persecution. He is going to purify his church, and he's going to have holiness in his church again. And we just got to trust the Lord. We got to keep our heads low, keep Jesus high, and we're going to see just the church arise in a time like this. Great humiliation. Don't be discouraged. Stay close to the Lord. Keep your head low. Keep the Lord high and trust him. He'll bring us through, and we'll be able to be a witness and a light to the nations and to the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.